Here tonight. We pray for those who could not be here, particularly for Jason as he's having to work. I pray that you just continue to guide and direct in his life. And we pray for the family as well as they're here. And we pray that you would give us a good evening. We pray that we would learn something from your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Obviously, with Sunday's announcement, it kind of threw everything off as far as our Pulpitville schedule. What I can tell you right now is Brother Prue will be coming to speak on Sunday morning, and he will also be here a week from tonight as well. Okay, and we're still working through the other details, but we'll let you know who will be speaking as soon as we possibly can. So just to let you know what's going on. And then also, let me make sure to make this announcement before I forget. We are delaying the Lord's table by one Sunday. We'll have it the second Sunday in September, okay? So that way everybody knows what's going on with that. All right. So we will, as soon as we can, get everything lined up. And Brother Jim, I imagine you're going to put a list back there once we get everything settled, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the community day, Rodney Myers will be here.
Yes. He's scheduled to be here the 13th.
Yes.
Rodney Myers. He's the head of that mission board that's located in Lebanon, PA, which is not far from Lancaster.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When are we going to have another fellowship?
You mean like a
breakfast?
Tell you what, I'll talk to the other guys on the committee and we'll let you know. How's that?
Mr. Rodney is coming. Is he coming with his
family? Usually when he comes, he brings his family. Yes. On Sundays, Wednesday, sometimes he'll come by himself.
So he's coming Sunday or Wednesday.
He's coming for sure the 13th, which is a Sunday, and then I believe he's coming one or two Wednesdays as well. When we have all the details, we'll get with you on that. But yes, I've been interested in having either a fellowship or a breakfast for some time now, and it just hasn't worked out. The biggest thing with a breakfast is both Jason and myself, depending on our work schedules, may not be available. So we may have to do it on a Sunday afternoon. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Starting Sunday, we will move on to verse 17, but for this week, we're still on verse 16. All right, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right. Good. Our next song is 572. 572, and then after that, we'll take some prayer requests. Lord willing, on Sunday, I'll have a new bulletin for you. 572. Something else I want to mention before I forget. When the new prayer bulletin comes out, the same information is going to be on it, but the way it's going to be laid out is going to be a little bit different. I don't have all the details quite together on that, but you'll see what I mean when you get it. One of the things that was important to the other guys in the committee is right on the front of the bulletin, the first request should be, pray that God provides us with a pastor. And currently, that's on the back page. And so I'm going to do some reorganizing. But all the same information will be there. Okay? So you'll see that when it comes out on Sunday. All right? Good to have you.
Sorry.
All right. We're taking prayer requests now in case anybody has any. Lord willing, I'll have a new bulletin come out on Sunday. Yes, Jim.
My brother's heart is might not be in really good shape. They found something on that, an aneurysm on it. And they said it could might be taken any time. He doesn't know. He hasn't felt any effects by it, he says, but it's one of those things where it's just something that can just happen and be all be over.
Okay.
Tim. Oh, his name is Tim Ernst.
Tim?
Tim.
Okay. All right. We have him listed on here as your brother and he having physical needs.
Yes,
but,
yes, he does. Well, this is pretty urgent on this one.
Okay. So he has difficulty with his heart, is what you're saying?
Well, it's actually, as he said, he was bleeding blood for a while. They found out he had two stones in his urinary tract or something like that, and he was bleeding blood for a while when he urinated. Mm-hmm. But when they checked that out, they found out his heart had that aneurysm. And that's probably a little bit worse than just that they could fix the blood.
Okay. Go ahead, Donna. Okay. Yes, Marge.
My granddaughter, Caitlin, is going to have her tonsils and adenoids out on the 15th of September. I'll pray that everything will go well. Plus, she started school, that she doesn't pick up anything else in the meantime. Just that everything goes through okay.
Her family is not saved, correct? Okay. How do you spell her first name? There are so many different spellings.
It's K-A-I-T-L-Y-N, Caitlin.
Got it. Thank you.
so they're eliminating a few things at a time. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Cheryl.
When you do that, the prayer sheet.
Yes.
You could just take me off planning to attend LCC for nursing, and
it's NCC now, right?
It's neither. It's it's just pray for God's direction for the future. I've decided that I believe that I've gone with the different steps and been praying a lot about it, and I don't think that this is the right time. I think God is saying no right now, so just continue to pray in the future.
Okay.
When God says no, it's no. You can't force it.
Right.
Even though I've been trying to do it my way. God's been saying, I don't think so, Cheryl. So I've come to terms with it for the moment.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
I should mention that my cousin Joanne's grandson, Alex, the test came back negative. He does not have COVID. So praise the Lord.
Now they need to figure out what else is wrong. Could be just the regular flu.
It could be a false negative, too.
You never know with this stuff. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Let me repeat this since you all didn't hear it. With the announcement on Sunday, it kind of threw everything out of whack as far as our pulpit fill schedule. So the pulpit committee is in the process of getting that straightened out. We do know on Sunday and next Wednesday also, Brother Prue will be here. And also the 13th, the following Sunday, Rodney Myers will be here. And we will have the Lord's table then. So just so everybody knows that. Okay. And we will get all the details together, and then Brother Jim will make a list like he usually does and post it in the back once we have everything taken care of. All right. I'll be speaking tonight. I know when Brother Hoover was here, he was doing a study in the book of Jude. It so happens I have my own study in Jude that I've been wanting to do for a while anyway. So we'll review some of that and then go on from there if time allows. So let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jude. All right. Before we get started, why don't we read the first 10 verses of Jude, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for everything you've given to us. The fact that we have your word and it's been preserved for us. And we also have a place to come where we can study your word and the freedom to do so up to this point. And we thank you for all these blessings, and many of us take them for granted. And there may come a day when we no longer have some of these things as you tarry and the world continues in the direction it's going and becomes more and more under your judgment. And so we pray that we would prepare our hearts, recognizing that time is short, and we do not know how much longer we are going to be here before the Lord Jesus comes to take us home to heaven. So help us to be prepared and be about the Father's business as you were when you were here. We thank you for all you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Some introductory things. We'll move quickly through these. Brother Hoover did a pretty good job of doing about this part of it. Jude was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't take the time to look this up, but in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, it lists some of the Lord's half-brothers there, and Jude was one of those. As he says here in verse 1, he was the brother of James, and James, of course, as we see from the book of Acts, was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. All right. One thing he really didn't get into was the approximate time of Jude's writing. Jude is one of the very earliest books in the New Testament that was written. It was written about 30 to 35 years after Christ returned to heaven. So we realize the dating system is off a little bit, probably by about 6 to 8 years. But somewhere in the AD 60s is about where we think James too, but Jude was written. All right. The purpose, and we know this already, is to warn Christians about apostasy that was already happening then, and we obviously understand that it's nothing has changed. We're still experiencing it now. Early church leaders were being martyred or heavily persecuted. We see that throughout the book of Acts. We see that James, this same James, was martyred for the cause of Christ. And then they put Peter in prison, and the Lord obviously miraculously delivered him. And we see from 1 Peter and also in James, where the writers were writing to believers scattered abroad. That's what was happening at this time. They were scattered abroad because of the persecution that was going on at the time. Part of the reason for Jude's writing also is with these believers moving away from Jerusalem, there was a dearth of good leadership and good direction. And so Jude wanted to write to try to help there. All right. Now we move into the passage itself. Verses 1 and 2, I call the greeting. We won't take time to read those verses again, but Jude recognized who his half-brother is and therefore calls himself a servant. Brother Hoover emphasized this when he did his study also. Jude demonstrated great humility by not drawing attention to himself, but rather to the Lord, which is what all of us should be doing. And just to make sure that the believers knew who he was, he said, I'm the brother of James. Christians are sanctified by the Father, preserved and called by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the time to go into what all of that means, but suffice to say that salvation, all three members of the Godhead are involved, right? The Father is the one who draws, right? Okay? Obviously, the Spirit is the one who reveals the Word so that we can understand it when we are still unsaved. And then obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. All right, so all three members are involved there. The blessings mentioned in verse 2 are only available for the Lord's chosen: mercy, peace, and love. All right. Okay, Brother Hoover did a good job with verse 3. Most times when we do a study in Jude, we recognize that that verse is the theme of the entire book. Jude wanted to write about the common salvation, but the Holy Spirit impressed upon him to write about something else: contending for the faith. All right. Notice in verse 3, in the middle of the verse, it says, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." So that word "exhort" there means it's a command. All right. So if we are going to be obedient to the Lord and his word, we have to keep contending for the faith. The faith was once delivered unto the saints, and this was something he emphasized as well. There are a lot of people think that there are multiple ways to heaven or multiple faiths. The Bible doesn't teach that. All right, there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And so we have to remember that. And the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So that is precious to us because it's the only way. All right. Jesus indicated on the cross that the payment for sin was finished. Let's go to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 19. John chapter 19. Obviously, this is mentioned in other ones of the Gospels as well. But John 19, verse 30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." And that, the way it's described there, is exactly the way he said, "No one takes my life from me. I give it up freely." All right? And he also said, "I'm going to take it again." And he did 3 days later. All right. When we say contending for the faith, in addition to the obvious connotation of, you know, the faith that we believe in, which is what you need for salvation, the other broader meaning for it is the entire canon of Scripture. Okay? And let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." All right. Notice here, through these verses, we understand that we have everything that we need to be successful in the Christian life. We have the Spirit within us, and we have the Word. So our part is to read and study the Word and meditate upon it, and then when the Spirit of God has something to work with, which is what needs to happen by our own study, then he will reveal to us what God's words means when it says what it says, and then we have the opportunity to be obedient and do what God wants us to do. All right. The next section is obviously very lengthy, and we're not going to get to it all tonight, but the section from verses 4 all the way through verse 19, I call the warning. And obviously there are numerous examples and things that Jude gets into here. Verse 4 tells us that the ungodly crept in and blended with the true believers. All right? And the Lord Jesus, in his parable, told us that this would happen. We're not going to take the time to look at it, but if we look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, that is the parable of the wheat and the tares. All right? And obviously, the wheat represent the true believers, and the tares are the unbelievers. And in this life, lurking externally, it's impossible to tell which is which. Obviously, the Lord knows. All right? So, we have to, we've been told not to judge, but we are to be fruit inspectors, right? And so, there may be some ways where we can say, all right, we aren't 100% sure, but it sure looks like this person is not doing what they should be doing, and we should steer clear of him or her. All right? So, but God will take care of things. And so we have to be careful about that. All right. Notice we see here, and he mentioned this pretty carefully as well, denying the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, when someone does that, it's pretty obvious that they are a false teacher and we need to steer clear of them. Basically, any so-called religious person, in order to determine whether they're right and where they should be or they're way off, just figure out, what do they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? If they believe what the Bible says, then they're right. But if they don't, then they're way off and we need to steer clear of them. All right. Their lifestyle is dominated by lasciviousness. And he described this pretty well, but a good definition is lustfulness or wantonness. They're completely dominated by their flesh, all right, and their fleshly desires. And it is possible for true Christians to live this way, and Paul had to correct the church at Corinth for this. If we look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, which we don't have time to do tonight, that was the problem with the church at Corinth. They were dominated by their fleshly appetites, and it's called carnality in that book. So it is possible for true believers to live this way, and obviously when they did, the Lord judged them for it. All right. He looked at the example of Egypt in verse 5. God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, but because of their unbelief and their disobedience, the first generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, all died in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Even Moses did because of his disobedience. Remember, the first time he was told to strike the rock, and then the second time he was supposed to speak to it, but he hit it, struck it a second time to break the type. It was supposed to be a picture of the Lord Jesus. And then obviously Moses, because of his anger and allowing his temper to get the best of him, he did not get to go into the promised land, and that original generation did not either. All right. We aren't going to look at any of these items. We don't have time to get into them. But if you want to do your own study about some of these items, first is Exodus 32. That's the passage about the golden calf. All right. We have Numbers 11, verses 31 through 33. That's when the children of Israel didn't want the manna anymore. They got tired of it. So they wanted meat. So God gave them quail. And then many died as a result of that whole situation. Numbers 13, 26 through 14, 39. That's the section about the 12 spies being sent into Canaan. And as the song goes, 10 were bad and 2 were good. All right. Obviously, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were good. And we know the report, you know, the people rebelled against the Lord, and that original generation died. The next one is about Numbers 16, 1 through 50. And that's a section about Korah and his followers. Remember how they were all swallowed up in the earth. And then Numbers 21, 4 through 9, this is the passage the Lord refers to in John 3 about the fiery serpents. Remember how the people were bitten by the serpents and many of them died? And when Moses put the brazen serpent on the pole and people who looked up at it were cured and saved. And the Lord Jesus referred to that in John chapter 3 in his remarks to Nicodemus. And then last but not least, Numbers 25, 1 through 9 is this, that's only one specific section. Numbers 22 through 25 is the whole passage about Balaam, the false prophet who was hired to curse Israel, and God prevented him from doing it. And including in that is the how the donkey talked to him. And it still amazes me where, you know, the donkey is talking to him, and he talks back to the donkey like it's just a normal everyday thing. Sure is crazy. And eventually the Lord opens his eyes and he sees the angel of death that the donkey was trying to avoid. But eventually, in the Numbers 25 passage, that's the passage where Balaam told the king who had hired him to curse Israel, the only way you're going to get these people in trouble is intermarrying with them. And that's what happened, and a number of the children of Israel died as a result of that sin. All right. Jude wants each of us, the readers of the book that bears his name, to remember and learn the lessons that Israel did not. And the Apostle Paul refers to a number of these lessons and refers to them in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 14, and reminds the church of Corinth about some of these same things and how we need to learn the lessons and take heed to those things that Israel didn't learn. And that's something we need to do. God saved his people, but they forgot him and his law. And Brother Mark referred to this already, but in Proverbs chapter 3, we see how he's telling us to remember God and his law and seek for wisdom the way that we need to. All right. We have time to get through one more verse, first chapter of Jude. That's the only chapter, verse 6. The example of the fallen angels kept not their first estate. That is referring to the angels who fell, who were part of Lucifer's rebellion against the Lord. Okay, and we're not going to take the time to look at it, but Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17 details Lucifer and his rebellion against God and wanting to be like God. And a number of the angels followed him, and we know them today as the demons. All right. Left their own habitation refers to the fact that they made a choice to follow Lucifer, Satan, and obviously they have no excuse, and nor do we. We know that from Romans chapter 1. God will judge them at the great white throne judgment. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. That's the judgment that's being referred to. And we see the details about that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. People, you hear this all the time where, how could God send someone to hell? He doesn't. We make that our own choice about that. That's number one. And then number two, God did not create hell for humans. God created that for the devil and his angels as their punishment for their disobedience all those centuries ago. All right. We will stop right there for tonight. Okay. Any comments or questions before we go to our prayer time? Yes, Kathy.
A few chapters up, you were talking about number 16. I didn't quite. You had chapter 16, verses 1 to
50. 50. It's basically, it's the whole chapter. It's about Korah and Dathan and those guys in there. They thought that God was speaking to them, not just to Moses. And then God said, no, you are not the true guys, Moses is. And then he destroyed them to make sure Israel understood that, you know, that was not his plan, and God was using Moses.
What did you say, that book of Isaiah?
Sure. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Sure. Anything else? Okay. All right, then we can be dismissed to go to prayer.